I trust and I hope by now that, because we're almost halfway through Proverbs, and we've, the author many times has repeated the points that he, that God thinks is important for us to remember. That we are trying to put these into our everyday life when we face different situations, that we are thinking about what God has told us to do in this type of situation, or what kind of attitude we should have, or what kind of response. Because until it does become your mindset like God's, then we're still going to be struggling and fighting with this world that we live in. Because surely it's not being run or operated under God's principles. Morning. So that's why we repeat and we discuss and we try to put it into our own words, what the message is to us, so that it'll really come to us when we're faced with these things. I really do try to do that. If I'm faced up with a decision I've got to make, then so what have I read on that, or what does God have to say about that? And it doesn't work all the time, but it's starting to, and that's the whole principle of Proverbs. It's going to take some time, but it's well worth the time that we put in. We're still in chapter 12. We're going to finish this up fairly quickly because we start today in verse 24 of Proverbs. It said, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be put under taskwork." And of course, this is about being lazy, not being actively trying to work for what God has blessed us with. So the topic is there. It's just put into another way to us. It's a reminder to us who do follow God's rules on working and being an active worker and a productive worker, that in the end, if not now, sometimes it happens now, sometimes we have to, we're on God's time and it might come later, we will prevail. I mean, God's plan for man will prevail. He also reminds us that the slothful worker, the lazy worker, shall be put under taskwork. Basically, it's telling you that if you're a good follower of God, you'll end up being a leader. And if you're not a good follower of God, if you're soulful, then you're going to be the one who'll be put back to work. You know, you're the one who's going to have to work harder than it would be if you worked diligently at what you were doing to begin with. Okay, anybody got any questions about that? Pretty explanatory, because now we're starting to repeat ourselves, and I hope we're going to be explained in all the kind of ways that it can be explained, so there's no question in our mind. I have a note here that forced labor was Solomon's own inglorious introduction to Israel. It was Solomon that brought people in and made them go to work from other countries. Put under his rule. Hey, Mr. Kidd. Okay, number 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good work maketh it glad. When he's talking about heaviness, he's talking about sometimes we get into a despondent mood or sadness mood, and when we do, then we're just not up. You know, if you know someone well enough, you can tell when they're down, or when the zest has gone out of their life or the spirit. I haven't understood how Kathy keeps hers up all the time, but you can tell, you know, if someone has had a tough happening in their life, just kind of make them despondent. But then again, helping someone else is basically what the next line says.
What chapter are you in?
Chapter 12.
25.
Says, but a good work makes it glad. In other words, if you can do something for someone else when you're down, you're going to feel better. It's going to make you feel better, seeing that you made them feel better. So remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind. When you're down tonight, try to do something good for somebody else and see what kind of response you get. Yeah, Jenny.
Mine says that anxiety weighs down the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it says a kind word cheers you up. There again, you know, words can heal or they can destroy.
And I've got another version says anxiety, uses the word anxiety. It's really a reminder, don't perplex ourselves, you know. Don't get anxious over small stuff, you know. Tomorrow's got enough troubles of its own. Why do you want to perplex yourself what's going to happen tomorrow when we take care of what we got today? Actually, in Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has its own worry. You're just adding something on there you don't need to. Of course, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares enough for you. Cast all your cares on him. Okay? Yeah, Beth.
My dad is still not doing well, and my sisters are the ones who want to fix everything. They want him to get more medicine, see more doctors, and, you know, that's stressing my mom out. But she talks to me because she knows that they don't need any more stress. She doesn't need to hear that. She needs to hear that someone's behind her, someone cares, someone is praying. And that gives her such comfort, and that's where this verse really came into play. Because I didn't say anything to my sisters about it, you know. I let them talk and talk and talk, you know, like they're Dr. Somebody. But I just said, Mama, I love you, and I'm behind you. And whatever your decisions you make for Dad, you know, I'm behind you. And stuff like that, I can't always help people with their situations. Like the ones here at Edge Hill who are hurting. And I, you know, I don't have any answers. I just have what the Lord, you know, has given me to be an encourager and help them and be there if they need me, of course. Don't get me wrong. But it's those kind words that really let them know they're not alone in their suffering. And we're going to have suffering. I know we have scripture about that, suffering and anxiety and stuff like that. But if we trust in the Lord and have the wisdom to know God's got this, He already knows what's in our tomorrow. He already knows that you're with Him if you're a believer, if you have faith. And a lot of times I have to say, Lord, like you've said many times, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Let me trust you more so that I won't get stressed out in trying to be somebody that I'm not.
Unfortunately, or maybe even fortunately, we're all going to be faced with those kind of worries and problems with our kinfolk, a close family member. And when it gets to the point that there's really nothing you can do, you let it go. Let God have it. He can do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, let it go. Let it go. And it's just hard for us to reach that point.
Right.
It's hard for us to lose our control.
Right, like,
or we're trying to change the situation.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely. We can't make doctors do what they do or give them the prescription or change the price on the medication. But like our Lady's Day is about be still and know that I am God. That verse really touches home to me because many times when I struggle to be or do or I just take a deep breath, relax, and watch what God's going to do. It's bigger and better than we can even think or imagine, and that's in the Bible too. Let Him do what He does best, is work wonderful things in your life if you love and trust Him.
We, in our men's class, went through a whole little book on prayer, how we communicate with God, and of course we got to that point where you some point you need to be still and listen.
Right.
You know, 'cause we're quick to beg or ask or want right. All the time when we talk to Him. In fact, most of the time we go to Him is because of that. But He does. Communication involves back and forth. It's not one way. You know, you can't be a listener all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a talker all the time. So God needs his opportunity to talk back to you, which he does through the Word.
Yeah.
But we won't comprehend it unless we first read it and then start remembering it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can read it and not remember it, and it's gone, and then we start all over again.
Right.
But we've got to start putting his answers to our memory. And then when you start doing that, then you'll start figuring it out the way he would want you to figure it out. But it's tough to do. When I first started trying to practice this, you know, where, all right, God, I'm here, talk to me. My mind would go waiting for just a few moments or minutes, and then I want to ask him something. You know, I want to get back into the conversation and say, hey, but I need this, or what, I forgot to tell you this.
Right.
So we got to be careful about that. But be still. Be still in this. And when I said, listen, start comprehending what he's trying to tell us in this book. Yeah, go ahead.
That comes from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And it reads this way. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. I keep a prayer diary. So when I pray for people or even for myself or my children, it's in my diary. And there's always space to record the answer that the Lord has given me. And I told the ladies and the ladies in our Bible class before, if you do that and periodically go over it, and see how God has answered every one of those prayers. Maybe not every one the way you wanted it, but he will answer every prayer. Your faith will grow by leaps and bounds because it's a give and take, you know.
It is. It's got to be.
And it's like you said, it's almost like I ask him something and he answers me back. And so when I start, I got about four or five prayers by now because they're all full. But it's amazing when you do that to see how God responds to you.
And that's the only way we're going to be understand and comprehend how much he blesses us.
Exactly.
When we recognize he's blessed us, mm-hmm. and thank him for blessing us.
Mm-hmm.
If y'all remember many years ago, quite a few years ago, we had prayers over there.
Mm-hmm.
That we, and then when they were answered, they would put them over here. I mean, you kept track of your prayers. Some way and somehow, you know, that slipped away from us. But the prayer book is your own personal prayer book, is an excellent way. It's an excellent way to recognize that who you've been blessed to. But too often we don't thank God enough. Okay? Any more? Okay. All right. The slothful man, getting back to the lazy man. Remember, God is trying to tell us something here. A slothful man roasteth not which he took in honey, but the precious substance of men is to the diligent. The lazy man won't even cook. Sometimes it's true. He wants somebody else to cook it for him. He'll have it in front of him, be hungry, and he won't even cook it. So he'll have to he'll get somebody else. Yeah, well.
I can go back to 26:2.
Huh?
He skipped one in 26.
Oh, did 26? Okay, let me go back to that. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked causes him to err. We've talked about this many times, what our relationship to our neighbor be. We should not cause strife with our neighbor just because they don't wave to us every time we go in there. In fact, I just heard this conversation with someone I was talking to. Says, my neighbor, I've been by them 15 times, nobody's ever waved me. So they, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Well, why don't you wave it down, you know? Why don't you pull up and say, hey, how you doing, neighbor? Because in a way, you're both protecting each other. He's watching out for your property, or we'll watch out for your property while you watch out for his property. Yeah.
Yeah, what you said is a good example. I can reflect on that because one of my neighbors which he's no longer there anymore, but we became good friends. We used to, at the time I would pull up in my truck and I, we looked at each other, but neither one of us would ever speak, you know. And then one day, I didn't realize it, I left my lights on. He came and knocked on my door. And so, you know, you left the lights on? From then on, we started speaking. And then when I had, I was in a position where I used to come across different items like the milk and other stuff, and I would be sharing it with him. And so I knew then that I had somebody watching out for what was going on my side of the street, and I as well watching out for what's going on his side of the street. And we formed a bond that way, but before that, we just kind of saw each other. We never communicated.
God didn't create us to be little individual islands, mm-hmm. you know, by ourselves. He created us to be a family. And the only way you're going to be a family is get to know somebody. And the only way you're going to be a friend, to get friends, is to be a friend.
Be friendly, yeah.
And too often we wait and blame it on the other person that hasn't reached out when we ourselves haven't reached out. And if you reach out and someone doesn't want to be your friend, then you can adjust to that. You'll know that. Then let's go to the next neighbor over here and see how he feels about y'all's relationship. But this one over here. Do not try to be an island. Let's see. Now we're on the soulful man, roasted not which he took in honey. Again, but laziness, but the precious substance of man is to be diligent, to be a worker. They have that characteristic of being a worker, and a good worker. And the way, I don't know what else I can say about sulfur. We're still going to cover laziness a lot more before we get through this book. By a man, it ought to be imprinted on you that you don't, if you take a job, I promise you, you take a job and you be the most productive you can be in there, you'll outpace the rest of them. And you'll be recognized for that. And it'll be rewarded for that. To give you an example, I got a grandson, John's boy, James, is in an apprentice program to be an electrician. ITAC, with ITAC. So while he's learning, they're paying him to do that. And he's with a crew now that's down in Newport News, so he has to try to go back and forth every day to do that. And they require a lot of Saturday work and overtime work simply because of what they're trying to accomplish down there. So they had a review the other day. And listening to James, he complained like everybody does, but he also said, I'm learning a lot. I'm learning a lot. Well, most of the raises they were giving out, and even when I was coming along, you know, 50 cents raise, a dollar raise, you know, it was good. He got $3.50, more than anybody, as an apprentice.
Wow.
So that means he had to do something different than was being done down there. But I do know when he comes home after he eats supper, he goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And he's up in the morning at 5 o'clock and get down so he can go down and go back to work. Yeah. So it pays.
Yeah.
It pays. And coming out of the business world, I can tell you, productive people are they're noticeable. You can't ignore them. You can't ignore them. Okay. Number 28. The last verse of this book. And the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Is everlasting life? What a reward. That's a promise too, by the way. That's promise. And in the pathway of there is no death, we have eternal life, the hope of eternal life. That line speaks for itself. You either believe it, accept it, or you don't. We want to lead a good life. We want to lead a godly life. We want to try our best to lead a godly life. Any thoughts or questions you want to get back to? All right, we go to Charles chapter 13. A wise son, and how many verses, chapters have started off with this basic concept here. A wise son hears his father's instructions. What's another word for instruction?
Discipline.
Guidance. A wise son hears father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke. If we went back and checked that word scoffer, that word is an abomination to God. It's back in one of the other chapters.
Check about this the other day because I've come across a verse and I can't remember where it is. But anyway, it said something to the effect that that the wisdom comes in old age. And I thought to myself, oh, yes, that's true. Why? He's continually telling a wise son. When I was a daughter, I didn't want to hear instruction. I wanted to do it my way. Why can't the young people catch all this wisdom when they're young? And I know that's what he's trying to tell them, but I feel so much wiser now that I'm older. And I sure, how many times do we say, oh, if I just done this when I was younger, oh, if I, you know, go turn back the time, if I'd known now what I know then what I know now, all that stuff. I wish there was a way to tell you to get your young people to listen.
My biggest regret is that I wasn't interested in Proverbs.
Right.
How many mistakes could I have avoided?
Right.
If I'd have gotten when I was younger.
Right.
And I'm serious about that. If you look back on your life, most of the things I did were stupid.
Yes.
You know, were foolish. Just like the Proverbs tell you, you're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was ignorance, it was pride, it was just not listening, as the book tells us. You know, we didn't heed it, we didn't want it. Didn't want anybody to tell you you're wrong. You know, you can't do that, you shouldn't do that. We always thought in our mind, this is old, they just don't know how to,
right.
The new way of doing it. This is a new style, we don't do it that way.
Right.
But if it could be some way implanted in younger people, at an early age, wow, what a different world we would live in. What a different life they would have. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the treacherous shall eat violence. Good words, good speech will bring good happenings in your life. Fruitful things. But if you got an evil soul, a treacherous soul, violence will always be in your life. It'll be part of your life. You'll be subject to it. Good people are rewarded for doing good things. Evil people will always want to do something wrong. Anybody doesn't understand that proverb? He that guardeth his mouth, getting back into this old tongue we got. He that guardeth his mouth keepeth life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again, the mouth, the words, the tongue, we're going over and over, and I promise you, you'll hear it more and more before we get to the end. That is the instrument in your body that gets you in the most trouble, is your mouth. Because it all comes from your heart and your soul. It comes through that tongue. But that's the thing that you and I hear coming out of there. And that's a reflection of what's in your soul, by the way. You're not going to have an evil soul and speak good things. Goes back to the old thing, listen, listen, listen. And talk less, less, less. Okay. Number four. The soul, getting back to the sluggard again, the lazy person. The soul of the sluggard desireth. And then he ends up having nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the a lazy person always wants, but he'll not work for it. But we have a promise here. If we're a diligent person, if we're a worker, some of us are probably fatter than what God intended here, but it means that we won't be hungry. In other words, our labels will provide substance for us. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly rewarded. Number five, a righteous man hateth lying. Lying is another abomination to God. A righteous man hateth lying, but the wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. He acts shamefully, and he ends up in shame, being a disgrace. The Proverbs say he becomes a fool. That's kind of self-explanatory also. Number six, righteousness guardeth him that is upright in his ways, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Remember, we have a protector if we're his righteous people. That's God. We have a relationship with God. He's going to look out for us. But the wickedness is going to be overthrown. He has a weakness, and he'll be overthrown. Any questions on that? Okay, number seven. He that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing, there is that that maketh himself poor, and hath well. What's another word for the deeper meaning of what's right here? Hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You try to make yourself ride around in a big Cadillac car, and you got big antennas, and you got flashy things as if you were rich, yet you have nothing. And then there are those who act like they're poor, run around in baggy clothes with a beat up car, but they're well off. And there are many persons who've done that, particularly within the church, so they wouldn't be condemned for their meant that they return back to the Lord. God knows that stuff. He's not fooling anybody. He knows that stuff. He knows that stuff. Anybody got any questions about that? We've all seen that. We've all seen that.
So it's okay at home to walk around in baggy clothes if I want to?
Yeah.
I'm not rich, don't get me wrong, but
tell me, who are you impressing around your home? Chuck? You're impressing Chuck? Or trying to impress Chuck?
Okay, I'm sorry. Right. I better straighten it. He might leave me.
How about verse 8? The ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor heareth no threatening. You got money. And there's some evil like people, and there are a lot of people out there. They can hold you for money. They're not going to hold that poor man for money because they know they're not going to get the money. Mm-hmm. So the poor man is kind of safe right there. But the rich man attracts him. They can try to bribe if you got money because they know you have a love for money. They can blackmail you if you got a lot of money. So money itself is not evil. I want you to understand that. Mm-hmm. It's the love of it. It's the love of it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, it can get you in a lot of trouble. It can get you in a lot of trouble. I've never heard of anybody kidnapping a poor man. Yeah. Anybody got any questions about that? First, now I want you to see if you notice the difference in here. And this is the way my Bible reads. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The light of the righteous, light shines brighter than a lamp. A lamp can be snuffed out, but you don't snuff out a light. You gotta put it out, get it out. But the lamp of the wicked shall be put out, snuffed out. In other words,
Jerry, did you ever think about this? You can move light into darkness, but you can't pick up darkness and move it into the light.
That's right. That's right.
One time that hit me, and I had to think about it all day long. It was pretty neat.
The big difference is a light is permanent, but a lamp is temporary. Not only can you not snuff it out, but it can run out of oil, and it'll go out.
Yeah.
You're wise enough to have enough oil to keep it lit when it's supposed to be lit.
So that's why it's important to shine.
That's right, shine. We're all supposed to let our light shine. Number 10. By pride cometh only contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride is another one of those sins that God does not like. And you have pride, which means putting yourself above others or their circumstances. You're only going to get some contention out of it. There's going to be some back draft to that. But with the well-advised, those who have know what to do, is wisdom. Pride is not a part of wisdom. No place in wisdom for pride, by the way. It's not one of the facets of pride, of wisdom. Humble here basically is unassuming. One of the versions might say humble there. Number 11, wealth by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall have increase. He that gathereth by working will always, hard work will always have enough. But wealth gotten by vanity, which is the same thing as fraud, will never last. It's going to be diminished.
Mine says wealth gained hastily will dwindle. Mine says wealth gained hastily will dwindle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you see that a lot with people that win lotteries and stuff like that.
Get rich scheme.
How fast does that go?
How fast, yeah. I think we talked about this last week. Does anybody remember when Mexico, this must go back maybe 40, 50 years, it was supposed to be an ingredient you put in your gas tank that gave you more mileage and made your car run cleaner. And it was, nobody could prove it. I mean, there was no backed up evidence that it did that. But they set these individuals up as little agents to sell Mexico. You got involved, then you hired this guy to get involved, then you got a piece of wood, like pyramid scheme. Like a pyramid scheme. But it's been, and I know quite a few of them that got into that. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of them used to go to this church sometime back. They got into that, and all pyramid schemes were going to crumble one day. And this one did. Mexico was going to crumble. It was kind of a fraud to push that as something that will give you more gas mileage and clean engine, but there was absolutely no proof that it did that. It was more expensive than gas, by the way. A little quarter of it was about five times expensive as a gallon of gas. So some people fall for that. Okay, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. Sometimes when we don't get what we pray for, what we hope for, and then we set a time limit on it, on it, and it doesn't happen in our time limits. We started getting doubtful or disgusted or down because we wanted something to happen. But when God desires it and it cometh at His time, it's like a, brings life back into your attitude and your disposition. Delay in the accomplishment of a much desired goal will occasionally even get Christians down. We don't understand God's time, or sometimes we don't accept God's time.
So could you say that verse kind of pertains to prayers answered?
Mm-hmm. Surely it does. Sure it does.
Because it's one of those things we talk about. God's time is not our time. And when it finally comes that He answers that prayer, that's all you can think about. That's all. You just praise Him and praise Him and praise Him.
Many a time we go to God in what we call a fervent prayer. I mean, we're really uptight, and we're really anxious about it, and we really want it. We don't see anything wrong with it happening, like a miracle happening right now. What harm would that have? Would come from that? But then we put ourselves on God level and say, "I understand, just like you, God. I know what's going on." We've got to accept that. God's time is not our time. This little short life we live here, it might seem to us it drags on, but it's just going to be a vapor compared to eternity. Mm-hmm. Compared to eternity. Number 13. Whoso despiseth the word bringeth destruction upon himself. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. His word, when he says word by here, right here, by the way, he's talking about God's words. Mm-hmm. You despise God's word and you're going to bring destruction upon yourself. That's a fact. But he that feareth God, feareth the words that he speaks. That's fear and an awesome respect for it, not fear and I'm scared to death of it.
Mm-hmm.
Shall be rewarded. You will be. What's your reward for that? Everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Anybody can reword that in the planner, because I want it to be sinking in our mind. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. What's our law? It's God's law. And who are these people? It's people that has God's wisdom. So the law then becomes a fountain of life to us, to seeking that we may stay away, we might not be tempted, that we may overcome, we may escape from the temptations in life that wants to snare us back. You know, if one wants to know the wisdom of men, he'll look in their books that they write, and he'll know their true thoughts and wisdom. If he wants to know God's wisdom, he'll look in God's book and His way that He wants us to live. Number 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. If we go back to our words, remember my little dictionary? Understanding is another word for wisdom, correction. If you'll do that, if you'll accept that, get better by it, for it, become better for it, repent of it, then you'll be given favor. But if you're a transgressor that won't listen, it's going to be hard for you. You'll forever be in rebellion against God's word. Every prudent man worketh with knowledge, but a fool flaunteth his folly. Prudent man is a man who considers all the ramifications You work it with knowledge. Knowledge normally put it in anything that's a fact that you want to learn or need to learn. But a fool shows his folly and his ignorance by flaunting wisdom. And we always say the fool is not merely incompetent. This is the moral, the delinquent that we're talking about here in Proverbs. A wicked messenger falleth into evil, but the faithful ambassador is health. This proverb, of course, was written back in the days when there were no phones, there were no cell phones, there were no TVs, there were no mail trucks going up and down the road, no special apps. So all messages were sent by someone. And if you picked a foolish person, if you picked a wicked person, it's likely your message would not get there, or it could get there and be misinterpreted or lost. And so they had people who would say, hey, I'll take your message to you and go to walk, and that's what they would have to do, to another city, wherever it goes. But if you were not a godly person or a diligent person, your message never got delivered. You were entrusted with something that you didn't do. But a faithful ambassador, a good deliverer, would deliver good messages. And you could count on him. He was faithful. Okay, we're going to stop there. And we're going to pick up here on verse 18. Starting next Sunday morning, good Lord willing. And I appreciate the attention of the class this morning.